Wonderful to hear the scripture read so clearly by the young in our midst. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning to all of you. Good morning. Right, we're on to a series on reflections on prayer. This year, as you know, we're set aside as a year of prayer. And we also add this phrase, pursuing the heart of God. That's a wonderful picture of that, flash on the PowerPoint. As we have sung just now, I'll sing your praises forever, deeper in love with you. And here in your courts, here in your presence, where I'm close to your throne, I found where I belong. So pursuing the heart of God and prayer is about that. It's about coming home spiritually, right? When we are able to pray, to seek the Lord's presence, that's where we know we are spiritually at home. And sometimes when we do that, we wonder, why have we for so long sometimes ignore the presence of God? So it's our prayer for us, for the cathedral in this year, as we pursue the heart of God. It's more than just an activity. We had a wonderful prayer and praise prayer meeting last Friday. It's really amazing. We're very encouraged. But of course, it's more than that. It's about getting each one of us to walk closely with God. And so the year of prayer, a quarter of the year has already passed. Right? So my challenge to you is, has your year changed? You know, I know there's Chinese New Year and a lot of distractions, but after the first quarter has passed, has something changed in your prayer life, changed in your communion with God? And this is something we need to continue to encourage each other to pursue His heart in our own lives, in that of the cathedral, and of course, of the nation as well. So this sermon series on prayer. We have service pastors going around preaching various topics. Is there? Yes, it's there up there in your bulletin as well. So last week you have Reverend Freddy who started. Reverend Freddy looked at prayer. It's something that's very much close to his life. He practiced a lot of that as well, and I pray that a bit of that passion has also rub off on you. But this morning here in this service, I'll be talking about praying for the nations, prayer for the nations. Let me start by saying this to help us remember. When it comes to praying for the nations, the Bible is very clear. The teachings of Jesus as well as the New Testament, remember these two phrases. As far as authorities are concerned, first, we need to pay to them. And secondly, we need to pray for them. All right? They'll help you remember. So, pray and pay. P-A-P. If it can help you to remember, all right? So I'm just throwing this in for free right at the beginning so we can remember. Very clear. There's no dispute about it. Teachings of Jesus, pay and pray. Now, we'll look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, the passage that is wonderfully read for us. On your flesh, bring the next slide. And let's read this together, all right? Familiar passage, but let's ask the Lord to help us to understand it a bit more. And of course, so put it in practice. Are you ready? Okay, go. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is actually a very interesting chapter, which one of the reader, the brother, ran beyond that to the rest of the chapter, but we only look at the first seven verses this morning. I want to ask, what does this text teach us about praying for the nations? The first point I want to draw is this phrase of first priority. Where St. Paul, the senior pastor, by the way, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy is written towards the end of St. Paul's life. So you're talking about St. Paul here was very senior and very experienced. And talking to young pastor Timothy, laying instructions to Timothy as to how he could pastor the church. And he said this, first of all, then. And this first of all is not first in terms of sequential, but first in terms of priority. And so, young Pastor Timothy, my instruction to you of first priority as you pastor the church, your first priority is to grow the church. He didn't say that, right? The first priority is to balance the books. Every AGM, the vicar is a lot of pressure to make sure they're in the black, right? Your first priority, Timothy, is to chair AGMs. Believe it or not, that's not what St. Paul said. Your first priority is to lead the church in prayer for all people, including kings and those in authorities. And Paul here used four distinct Greek words for prayer. In fact, there are seven Greek words for prayer used in the New Testament. And they overlap a bit. They're actually distinct. They point to various aspects of prayer. And Paul, in drawing this distinction, he's simply saying, it's not so much to draw the distinctions actually, but simply to say that the church should pray in every way for all. Now, I go for annual health checkup every year. Same doctor, same clinic, and the same message he gave to me every year. Same message. He says the same thing. Cut down on sugar. When you drink coffee, exercise more. You know, when you swim 10 laps in the pool, there's only how many meters? There's not a lot, not enough. You must swim 20 laps. Now, you refer to some specific example. I get the message. Now, I'm not going to, you know, if I would drink tea, and I say, oh, the doctor did not say to cut down sugar in tea. He said cut down sugar only in coffee, you know. So, yeah, right. So, that's what the doctor's trying to say. Just naming a few examples, a few distinct examples, how you can have good health. Basically saying, you know, live a healthy life. St. Paul is somewhat saying this, naming a few examples, but saying, in every way, pray for the nation. And all prayer, so St. Paul is saying, all prayer, Timothy, all prayer is to be made for all. And the word all, I think underline it in the verse there, all people. The Greek word is anthropon, for which we have anthropology. That was a subject Sarah studied last year, anthropology, a study of human being. And this was a reminder. When you think of the nation, it's more than just government and authorities. A nation is about the kings and the people, right? Those who rule and those who are being ruled. And so it's to pray for all. And here in Singapore, all, of course, also embrace the more than 1 million foreigners we have in our midst. We'll talk about it, a bit about it this morning. By the way, I believe this walkabout and ministry you're doing in partnership with those from Myanmar Worship Service, correct? So even if you can't speak Burmese, it's okay, just come, right? Because we are partnering with them. So all prayers for all peoples. One way to remember verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. And so, the primary call of the church, brothers and sisters, is to pray for the nation. So on Sunday, when the city stops counting money, right, when the board meetings no longer meet, the church gathers to pray. That's a primary call. When the diocese celebrated her centenary year, we wrote a book, a compilation of different writing. I was asked to contribute a chapter. And in that chapter, I said that the greatest contribution of the Anglican churches, the 20 over parishes spread across our city, our greatest contribution is not in education, our greatest contribution to the nation is not in healthcare, or our ministry to the poor or those who are mentally disabled, important these things may be, but our greatest contribution, because primary, it is basic, it's necessary, first of all, as Paul will say here, is to pray for the church. I have another slide, I think. The next slide. Next slide. Yeah. Oh, never mind. I'll come to it. Yeah. So our greatest call is to pray for the nations. So first of all, my verse 2 then moves to specifically mention to pray for kings and all who are in high positions. Right, so we can think, of course, of our Prime Minister. We need to always be praying for our Prime Minister Lee, for his health, the amazing tension, immense stress and challenges he has facing for the nation and his own family as well. Some of you, I don't need to repeat it here. Last year, some of the unexpected turnings. So we pray for our Prime Minister. We pray for our President, Halima Yaakob. We pray for our Cabinet. We pray for those who are up and coming. Don't join in on speculation. It's not very helpful sometimes who is going to be our next Prime Minister, but pray for them. Pray for the team. It's never just one person. Pray for the team. We pray for our ministers. And of course, we pray for our high court judges too. They play a very important role, and so on and so forth. And it's quite something that St. Paul asked Timothy to pray for those in authority, because he was under persecution. Remember, Emperor Nero. It does not arise on the heart of bitterness, but the heart of a Christian who recognized that God is in authority. And St. Paul said, pray for the kings and all those in authority. And Christians pray for those in authority because we first of all recognize the authority of God. The other passage has been read for us. Romans chapter 13 says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. So Christians pray and have been doing so ever since the church started. The church always been praying for the nation because she recognizes all authority come from God. In fact, very interesting, verse 5 of Romans chapter 13, St. Paul uses this phrase, they are ministers of God. So not just those who are called like me. They are ministers of God when they discharge, right? God's rule over creation. So St. Paul, New Testament, has a very holistic view of the world. We tend to sometimes divide the spiritual and the secular. Or the Bible worldview of the world is very orderly. God is from whom every authority derived from God to the nation, to the church, to the family. And these spheres, they do overlap a bit, but in these spheres, this is where authority is exercised. So we pray because we recognize that He's sovereign. And St. Paul will say later in the same book, chapter 6, verse 15, He who is the blessed and only sovereign. Right? You're going to say here later, only one God, one mediator, orderly, not chaos, not a few competing ones, only one. And here it says, the King of Kings, referring to Jesus, and the Lord of Lords. So Christians pray with this perspective. And sometimes those in authority sometimes can come to us as larger than life. Right? The media is a way of amplifying their presence. It's quite amazing. I'm just looking at President Kim Jong-un. He's so much younger than me. He's so bigger. But anyway, but there's so much power. So much power invested in this man. It's quite amazing. But he's just flesh and blood. Right? He is one of the kings, one of the lords, the small K, small L. Right? But Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this perspective, therefore, one reason why as a church we're always praying for the nation. Always. From day one, when I became a Christian, I joined the church. This amazing thing. When I became a Christian, when I started attending church, I see the nation and authorities in a very different light, very different way. Because the first duty I realized as a Christian is to pray for the church. You guess what? You can't hate something you're praying for. You can't despise something you're praying for, right? So you have a different attitude towards the government. I'm speaking, of course, my early years as a Christian in Malaysia, and things are very different over there. I don't need to elaborate over this pulpit. So much that we need to pray. And so, the Lord's Prayer starts with, Thy will be done, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Before we are called to pray for our need for daily bread, or our need for forgiveness, our need for strength to overcome our daily temptations, we are first called to pray for the nations. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, a world vision, so to speak, that shapes the way we pray. So first priority, Timothy, for every church. So don't domesticate prayer. Sometimes I ask people, come for prayer and praise. Will you be praying for my needs? Will you be having altar call to pray for those who are sick? There's a place for that. But we gather in prayer, first of all, for the nation and for our city. Secondly, in praying for the nations, we learn the second thing from this passage. Oh, yeah, I thought I want to show it. First of all, then, there's a beautiful picture of, you know what, St. Luke's Cathedral, taken just on Friday. Very fresh picture. All right, so how beautiful, how clean cathedral is. I'm sure this is the AGM. So if people complain that we're not keeping cathedral clean, this is a very nice view. A reminder, right in the heart of the city, many important buildings of commercial or political value, but cathedral is there. And our primary call is prayer. And so you see the way the Gothic design, so a reminder, right? It's reaching out to heaven. Our primary role is to be a praying church, a house of prayer for all nations. May the Lord help us to do that. Well, secondly, brothers and sisters, we pray that we may have a peaceful society. So verse 2, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way, for this is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. So we pray for the king and all the people. It's not just the authorities, the people too. As you know, for the Arab Spring, it's about the people that brings peace, right? But when people fight against the government, you have chaos, right? So we pray for all that we may lead a peaceful, think about these words, lead a peaceful and quiet life, and godly and dignified in every way. Beautiful words. Peaceful, quiet, godly, dignified. And St. Paul moved on to say that this is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. The word good is from the Greek word kalos, which means beautiful. No, when something is beautiful, it's self-evident. You can see that it's beautiful, right? And he's saying these are the qualities that makes for a beautiful life, a beautiful society, the beautiful nation. And this is God's will for us to live. It's a broken world, yes. It's a mixture, we know that. But it's God's will for us to live this kind of life. Sometimes I always ask Singaporeans when I meet them, is this the kind of life you're living? Right? But if your life is completely opposite to this, let me tell you something, your life is wasting away. You're dying an early death. Right? It's full of stress, full of anger, full of anything that's full of things that are not dignified. You know what I'm trying to say? I mean, indulge in things that are not right, it takes away something from us, emotionally, physically, and so on and so forth. But that's not the kind of life that God has for you and me. And this is a very basic need, friends, for every society. And it's something we need to pray for. This is a cry of every human heart, right? Why do people migrate? Whether legally or illegally, a search for a better life. A search for a peaceful place that they can grow the families and grow all together with the spouse or with the children and grandchildren. Why did my grandfather came to Singapore? Actually, I don't know his name. Mr. Wong. I should find out from my mother what's his name. I've never seen him, of course. He died early, but he came down all to Malaysia. I'm sure I've told this story, but it's a Hakka. A Hakka means a guest, right? As you know, Hakka, coming from the north, always under pressure from the Manchurians, the Mongolians, right? And so when they moved to the south, not quite welcome by other dialect groups, so always treated like a guest. So they're always on the run, right? So one Hakka, one by the name of Wong, came all the way to Malaysia. I continue to migrate, and think about it, right? I came to Singapore in search, basically, of better opportunity for education, basically, tertiary education. But the Lord, of course, has other plans. I can still recall in the early years of her marriage, housing this Nigerian. This Nigerian that came to Singapore, referral letter from a Nigerian bishop, Anglican bishop. We have since wised up, you know. But in those early days, we weren't that wise, and we thought it was legit. But actually, he was just wanting to migrate, and that must be a false letter, a scam or something. But this Nigerian friend was sincere. He really wanted to move to a better place so they can bring his family along. A man of integrity, but he wants to leave, you know, leave Nigeria. So we house him. Crazy, if I think about it, you know. Young children and the family, just a sense of, for 2 weeks, you know, we house him. And he was, in Singapore, it's iron tight, you know. There's just no way, you know, you can slip through the system. But what I was doing was legal, but I can still recall he was so desperate. And he was struggling to understand Singapore. You know, I cook, you know, right? So I was cooking a lot of Chinese meals for him. And one day he looked at me, I cooked something, and he looked at me and he said, stew, you know. Since then I learned that Africans actually eat braised dishes, right? And so he was missing home, and he was very desperate for his kind of food. I still recall, and I have been the best I can. The last I heard of him, he went to Malaysia, and he was selling watches. And that's the last I heard of him, you know. I trust that God has been good to him. So the next slide, this is a picture of chaos. Keep to that, right? Right, no guess where you want to stay, right? Which city you like to be in, Syria, which is in a mess, or somewhere like what you see on your right. It appeals to you. It's a very basic human one, a cry of every human being. And friends, this is only possible if a nation is well governed and the people are submissive to the authority. And don't take the peace we have in Singapore for granted. Right? We're going to keep our nation in prayer. Syria was a modern city. Damascus was a modern city like Singapore. But in a few years, it's completely gone, ranked in ruin. We need to continue to pray for Singapore. Let me quote something from William Tyndale. Next slide. William Tyndale, very important person because he brought first some of the earlier versions of the English Bible and did this, of course, ferment the English Reformation. But he talked about the need of one whole man. How the church is half a man and the government is half a man, you need one whole man. Of course, it's a very English perspective of the 16th century. He said this, the higher powers are the temporal king and princes unto whom God has given the sword to punish whoever sinneth. And here is on your PowerPoint. To preach God's word is too much for half a man, and to minister a temporal kingdom is too much for half a man also. One need the other as a whole man. The king is to enforce the law, as is written in Scripture. The king is not more important than the church. He is the facilitator and supreme authority when it comes to the law. The king is to ensure that ministers are preaching properly and to maintain integrity of the church, so forth. Now, there's some things the church can teach, the church can preach, as I'm doing today, right? But the church alone cannot bring order to society. You need the government, you need the police as well. But the police and government alone cannot change and bring order to society as well. They need the church. Right, there are many things I can do as a pastor. We have your years, right? We have a captive audience every Sunday. There's discipleship and so on and so forth. There's counseling and to help you to be a better person. So the church and the government need to work together, and this brings order to the universe. It was Shakespeare. It was his tragedy. Troilus and Cressida, who said this, and I read to you just a bit of poem this morning, not too much, yeah? Too heavy day today, AGM, you're coming, you know? So, but a bit of poem here. Talking about the place, the importance of order, the heavens themselves, the planets, and this center observe degree, priority, and place. Incisure, cause, portion, season, and form. This is written, by the way, in the 17th, 18th century, way before modern cosmology and what we know today of the world. But Shakespeare said this. office and custom in all line of order, take but degree away, untune that string. Just a slight untune the guitar this morning, just untune it a bit, you know, E flat, and then discordant in the whole band, right? And hark what discord follows. So sin, disorder, disrupt the universe. So as Christians, we pray for and pay to the authorities. As my wife always tell me, don't cheat on the government when I'm tearing the parking coupon. You know, in small things, don't cheat and you'll be fine. Come to Texas, right? To honor God. Because when you honor the authority that God is seated, you're honoring Him, right? And I always believe that good Christians make good citizens. I'm aware. Romans 13 is not so straightforward in countries where the government is corrupted, tyrannical, and so forth. There are exceptions to the rule, I understand that. But by and large, Christians should be good citizens. And when they participate, praying, they love the country, as our sister Liking always say at our leaders' conference, loving Singapore on your knees. We're praying, it changes the way we approach our government. We're not just gossiping, we're not tearing the authorities down, we are praying for them. And such Christians help to build the nation and make it strong. I'll draw attention to a very interesting study by Robert Woodsberry, published in 212. I don't think he's a Christian, or maybe he is, but he did his study, his research here in Singapore, and this paper won prizes in many associations in America, secular associations, because of the depth of his study, which proves what we can also see and observe around us. Whenever Protestant missionaries go, something changes positively in the society. So he did exhaustive, intricate statistical comparisons of the political trajectories of 142 nations in Africa, Asia, Latin America, Oceania, and so on and so forth. And he said this, areas where Protestant missionaries had a significant presence in the past are on average more economically developed today, with comparatively better health, lower infant mortality, lower corruption, greater literacy, higher education attainment, especially for women, and more robust membership in non-governmental associations. You can Google it down, by the way. It's a very interesting article. And it attributes to various things. For example, the importance of the Bible, Protestant emphasis on the Bible, increased literacy. Not only that, people read the Bible, they build God's word into their hearts. So they're just not doing something to please the authorities. There's an internal compass, a moral compass, and that makes the nation strong. It's a very interesting article. But we can see, we can observe, and certainly Singapore is blessed as we approach our 200th bicentennial celebration next year. Christians have played amazing, major influence in the formation of this nation. And so, brothers and sisters, we continue to pray for the kings, continue to pray for the people. And the third quarter of this year is dedicated to prayer for the nation. It'll be very intense. We are for 40 days, from 1st of July to 8th of August, every lunchtime, I'll be praying for nation and nations around us. And there'll be solemn assemblies as well. We'll bring the information to you, praying for the nation. Amen. Now, thirdly, the third reason, and here we look at verses 4 to 5, of course, and here St. Paul, who has pledged his life to the gospel, brings this point in very powerfully, the importance of the gospel. Verse 4, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 5, for there's one God, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So, as Christians, we live a gospel-centered life, and that's also shaped the way we look at the government and society, the way we pray. And Paul here is saying, peace with man and peace with God, right? And verse 3 needs to be read sandwiched between verses 2 to 4. This is good, beautiful, Carlos. Yeah, when the nation is in order and when we allow the freedom of worship. And I'm going to say at the moment that also through the order of the nation, how it brings glory, it reflects on the order and the goodness of God. The ultimate blessing of an order society is how it brings people to God. Now, there, a very popular way of interpreting this verse is to say, when there's peace, then we can gather and worship like today. We can hold evangelistic rally. So next year, we can hold a rally in the sports hub to preach the gospel. So there's freedom to evangelize, right? So there's most popular interpreting this verse. But I want to suggest it's not just that, and there are many theologians who will back this up. More than just that, here, St. Paul is also saying, when there's order in society, right? When there's order in society, that order and goodness testify to a greater order and greater beauty and greater good. I wonder whether you understand what I'm trying to say. You know, when I walk into a city, I've not been to Japan before, and I've seen pictures. Maybe sometime this year, I hope to visit Japan. But Japan may not be a Christian place, but when you walk into, however, a village that is well-ordered and clean and nice, it draws attention to the Creator. True? Right? I don't have all the time to draw from the rest of Scripture to make this very important point, but again, back to this very holistic view of the world, that God is in control, He's the Creator. And when we see something that's ordered, it causes us to think about who's behind this beauty and this order. Do you know World War I and World War II has turned many, many away from God, especially in Europe? Again, I won't go into all the details, but disorder in society, friends, is hell. There's no other word for it. Just ask those who are living in Syria. Of course, there are people getting converted here and there. Sometimes the moments of desperation, people see the need for God. There's room for that. But by and large, you find that it holds back the work of the gospel when the nation is in chaos. So, I sum up, and this phrase helps us remember this text. All prayers for all people, that all may be safe. And so this is an added motivation why we are praying for all nations around us. For there's only one God, not a few gods or a few mediators, only one God and one mediator. In fact, in the history of the Anglican Church, the history of the Christian Church, the first few centuries, the church Christianity spread because of Pax Romana, Roman peace. You study history, especially after the first century, you can see as merchants and slaves travel, and as there's all this society, many there's opportunity to preach the gospel. Certainly, Singapore. We thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord has blessed us with a peaceful society. Not just peaceful, orderly society. So much in a society points out a person that there's something greater than us. The goodness of God. We are thankful. But not every city in Asia is like this. I can recall praying for Sri Lanka. This is many years ago now. I'm still young, but when I was younger then, just graduated from NUS and in Tung Ling Bible School. First time, actually, I met Jennifer. I didn't notice her, but she noticed me. Because I'm taller. No, that's not true. This skinny guy running around. Anyway, we didn't fall in love then. It was much later on. But in the Bible school, I remember that this night, we were praying at night. It's a very small group, not with her, but with this Sri Lankan student, a pastor actually. And we were praying, remember in the 70s, in the mid-80s, the turmoil in Sri Lanka, major. And we were praying, and this Sri Lankan pastor was in tears, shouting and wailing. It was he was so emotional, it moved me too. I also felt it, you know, in prayer. But yet at the same time, a sense of desperation because things are so deadlock, so hopeless. Sri Lanka, the way we may sense about Syria, right? But amazingly, somehow, something happened. And a few years later, Sri Lanka found peace, and today it's a wonderful destination. Many of our cathedral members do go for missions and various other purposes. Our choirs, you know, we visit as well. So Sri Lanka is very changed today. I still remember that prayer of that pastor. We need to keep praying. Though sometimes in the physical, in the temporal, we don't see change as yet. North Korea, hallelujah. Is it amazing? We encounter history, and I know we know enough politics to know which is north and which is south. Right? It's amazing, you know, some Singaporeans don't read, check the news, don't read CNN, don't read the paper, they have no idea what's going on, but it's a historic moment on Friday, right? You need to pray that it's real and not just flesh in the pan. Amazing. And I want you to know, I visit Korea twice, South Korea now twice, and every prayer meeting, the word every, maybe it's just so happened I was that was my experience. Every prayer meeting I had started with a prayer for North Korea. South Korean Christians praying fervently for North Korea, first for unification, a chance to see the reality has been torn apart by the Korean War. And every prayer, a chance to give them the best gift. Not free Wi-Fi, not all the modern comforts, the gospel. Koreans, South Koreans are just waiting for opportunity. If they want to evangelize the whole world, yes, you know, Korean missionaries all over the world, but first and foremost, they want to preach the gospel to the Korean brothers and sisters in North Korea. I can tell you something, this Sunday, in every Korean church, there's amazing jubilation. Right? And so I felt that, you know, I felt that as I read the news and I think of my the churches I've been in Korea, quite amazing time. All happening so quickly. I've got somebody attribute to Donald Trump, right? But I trust that you can see that God is doing something. But the Bible says that God even used donkeys. I'm not trying to suggest anything here, but God can use. Terrible. Yes. No. And Americans, yeah, so sorry. I don't mean that. Yeah. So sorry about that. That's not in my notes. Terrible. What I mean is God can use anyone. Amen? God can use anyone. Christians, all you know, have been praying for Donald Trump as well. He's imperfect as with every other president and prime minister. Right? And whatever feelings you may have for or against, I just remember the authority behind that person is far more important. Of course, brothers and sisters, we continue to pray for Myanmar, we continue to pray for Vietnam, we continue to pray for Indonesia, and you're going to pray for Malaysia. Amen? Right? Because this next Wednesday is a very important election. More than just politics, we pray that God will transform and restore and renew this nation so that there's order, honor, dignity, peace, so that people can live life in all its quietness and beauty, life as it should be. Amen. So, church, will you join us in praying for the nations? This is a year of prayer, and we are putting top priority to pray for the nations. Will you be joining in to pray that God will change our nation and the nations around us? Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful passage from 1 Timothy chapter 2. Such a basic, a familiar passage, but such an important reminder. And here we pray for the cathedral that we will always have first priority, the affairs of the nations. Always recognize, as we are in the midst of so much human authority all around us, recognize the true source of authority, divine authority of God Himself. And most importantly of all, how every man and woman need the chance to hear the gospel and to see the gospel in action, especially the gospel in action through the societies. So Lord, we pray that we give thanks for the miracle that Singapore is. We continue to believe, oh God, the nations around us, especially in Asia, will not give in to the ties of secularism, but you'll be the Christian faith. The seed planted by many Christian missionaries to continue to shape societies after your will and after your purposes. Lord, we rejoice, hallelujah, with what's happening in Korea. We rejoice with our brothers and sisters in Korea who have been praying for so many years and so fervently, some praying every day. Lord, we ask that you may continue to work in Korean Peninsula, especially so that every North Korean may have a chance or so to be given a fair chance to hear the gospel and to encounter the love of Jesus. And no less the president himself, Father, we pray, that may work in his heart. As he opened his heart to the world, may he open his heart as well to you. Hallelujah.